Nick was the only one of the Meldbrook Five to be dropped into a room that was lit. Rather than leave his cocoon of light, though, he sat down in the center of the room. Nick had known his plan the minute Coach George had explained the game to them.
"I'm just going to do nothing. Just do nothing."
Well, nothing physically, anyway. Nick's strategy was a focused, steady stream of luck that he hoped would keep him hidden. People were wandering around the maze with no sense of direction or idea where they were going. They were depending almost entirely on luck to guide them. And since Nick happened to hold some sway in that department, it should be guiding them anywhere else but to him. Admittedly, it wasn't the most ambitious of plans, but given the circumstances, it would ideally ensure that he lasted into the final three survivors. The top offensive positions were still open, but Nick was under no illusions that he'd ever have a shot at claiming one of those. Instead, he put his efforts into making sure he stayed all alone in his room for as long as possible. The door in front of Nick slid open suddenly. It was pitch black and difficult to see what lay outside. Nick made no movement to get up from his seat.
"If someone found me, then they found me. And if it's just the labyrinth being weird, then I'm not gonna let it—"
"Hey there, stranger. Need a hand?"
"Not even a little bit. But thanks for the offer, Mary. Try not to give away my position on your way out of here."
"Really? Just kicking me out? Where's the legendary nitwit and chattiness?"
"Seen any good movies lately? How's the folks? Cold enough for you these days? Get the hell out."
"Now that wasn't so hard."
Mary walked further into the room, and the door shut automatically as she approached.
"Yet, you're still coming in. You know, for a telepath, you sure can't take a hint."
Nick rose to his feet.
"Or maybe you're thinking of zapping me and upping your stats."
"Or, and this is just a crazy idea, I want us to help each other so we can do better in this test."
"Who needs help here? I had a perfectly good plan, and you're the number one rank on the girl's side. Pretty sure we'll be just fine on our own."
"You know, Nick, the word us can mean more than just the two people currently standing in a room together."
"Let me get this straight. You want me to abandon my safe little hidey hole so that I can go with you, charging through a labyrinth, all in the name of helping our dorm mates?"
"Everyone except Roy. He's already out of the game."
"Oh, well, that changes everything."
Nick threw his hands up dramatically.
"They'll be fine. I mean, they'll lose, and quickly, but they'll be fine in the long run."
"Are you sure about that? What if they do so bad they get cut from the program?"
"Then we send them a fruit basket and move on with our lives."
"You can act as blasé as you want, Nick, but don't forget, I peek inside your head more than occasionally. You and I both know that you put in a lot of time working this group, creating just the right persona and positioning yourself precisely where you want to be in this group dynamic."
"And your point is?"
"You aren't the kind of guy who will let all that hard work go down the drain if it's avoidable. The best way to make sure your efforts bear fruit is to keep the group the way it is, and that means everyone advancing to the next semester."
"See, this is why I hate telepaths." "Fine. Lead on, O champion of the misfit supers."
"I think I'll do just that."
Alice's strategy was planning out well so far. She'd heard more than a couple fellow students walking beneath her, but thus far, none of them had noticed the floating blonde over their heads. Once or twice, she'd briefly entertained the idea of dropping on top of them in surprise and trying to shock them out of the game, but her common sense ultimately prevailed. As time ticked away, it occurred to her that she might have a shot at being one of the last people standing. She continued moving, carefully crossing doorways only when she was positive there was no one else waiting on the other side. As she navigated through the darkness, she reached a door that required being physically opened. If there had been another path, she likely would have taken it, but pressing forward was her only option. Alice groped around until her hand struck a small switch. As the door slid open, the first thing that struck Alice was the overwhelming brightness. The second was the blast of wind that smashed against her. For a few brief, confusing seconds, Alice truly believed she had opened a door into a hurricane. Then, her eyes adjusted and things made both more and less sense. Dashing around the room in combat was Sasha, recognizable only when she slowed down enough to change direction or when she clashed with her enemy. The enemy Sasha was fighting was also Sasha.
Huh? What?
Alice blinked to make sure she was seeing things correctly. Then, the pair of Sashas noticed her.
Alice! Give me a hand with this imposter!
What is that? Is someone using an orange flashlight?
Vince and Alex had noticed an orange beam glowing faintly from a few rooms down. It was sweeping erratically, as if wielded by someone trying desperately to make sense of their surroundings.
Looks that way. So, do we run away?
Vince shook his head, then realized Alex couldn't see him.
No, we don't have that kind of stealth to outlast everyone else. Our best chance is to start taking others down when we find them.
Best defense is a good offense.
More or less. Though, to be honest, I feel a lot better if I had a red bracelet to go with my red weapon. Equal out the offense and the defense.
Hey, at least you have one red item. I'm yellow on both accounts.
That doesn't seem right. I mean, I saw them give Mary a red weapon.
Hey, Vince, I think we're kind of stalling here.
Oh, right. We should get moving.
You should also realize in total silence, the sound of a whisper carries far.
Thomas Castillo stepped through the doorway, his left hand glowing bright orange. While Vince and Alex had been talking, he had made his way much closer to the duo.
Thomas? I thought that shade of orange looked familiar. I didn't know you could use your energy like a light.
I can do a lot of things with it.
Man, Nick must have put a whammy of good luck on me before we came down because I keep running into friends.
I don't know that I would go that far.
Thomas's right hand burst into orange light as well. Instead of a dim glow, this light arced out and split into two beams, one each slamming into Vince and Alex and wrapping around their torsos. As soon as they were immobilized, they felt themselves lift several feet in the air.
It's nothing personal.
Thomas used his left hand to pluck out his own red weapon, the pulsating energy emitting from his right hand keeping the room sufficiently lit.
It's as you said. Some of us are lacking in the skills to succeed at the stealth portion of this exam. That only leaves bringing down other students.
A little warning might have been appreciated.
Vince struggled to push against the orange energy enveloping him.
Appreciated and ill-advised. You're strong opponents. Without surprise, I doubt I could have taken you both. I wouldn't normally use that strategy in a fight.
Surprising us was the right idea.
An odd smile danced on Alex's face in the orange light.
Explaining why you did it and giving us time was wrong.
My apologies if I gave you hope. But I did so because my abilities have already been tested against telepaths. Your kind deal in moving only solid matter with your minds. Energy is far less dense than that.
I'm only gonna say this one more time.
A vein in Alex's forehead bulged, and sweat materialized on his forehead.
I'm not a fucking telepath!
The circle of orange energy binding Alex was forced apart, and he dropped to the ground.
What?
Thomas was absolutely flabbergasted, and stood in dumb shock as Alex made a quick motion with his hand. That sent Thomas flying across the room and crashing into the wall. As soon as Thomas hit the wall, his concentration faltered and the energy binding Vince dissipated. Vince landed carefully on the floor below.
That was pretty cool.
Thanks. Sorry about the yelling. It just gets frustrating sometimes.
Vince made a mental note, never to question Alex's power to his face.
I hope you didn't hurt him too badly.
I'm fine.
Thomas rose to his feet near the wall.
I'd like to know what trick you used, though. You shouldn't be able to stop energy. How'd you do it?
Nothing is beyond the Force.
Very well, then. Seems I'll have to fight you both head to head. I'd hope to avoid that, but if it must be, then it must be.
Thomas lit up again, this time both hands glowing bright orange. Without warning, five beams from each hand lanced out at Vince and Alex. But this time, they were ready. Vince rolled to the side to dodge, and Alex swiped the air with his arms, knocking the beams away. As Vince got back up, he pinned his attention on Thomas, readying himself for the next attack. He noticed that Thomas's hands still showed 10 beams extended. Vince put it all together just in time, leaping forward and narrowly missing the five that slammed down in the spot where he had been.
What the hell?
Vince ducked as the five orange strands snaked out, each one trying to snare him.
I told you, my energy moves like an appendage, taking whatever shape I require. All of them move independently, and if one of them touches you, then you're as good as restrained.
Vince snuck a glance at Alex, only to see his friend working double time to try and deflect the beams from all angles. While Vince's five were staying fairly close-knit, the ones battling Alex were spread out, forcing him to block them at random intervals from every direction. At the rate things were going, Vince and Alex would lose, and soon. In a moment of desperation, a plan formed in Vince's head.
Alex, I need you to buy me 30 seconds. Can you do that?
No idea. Guess we'll find out.
Hey!
Before either Sasha could say a word, Alice flew up to the ceiling. It was higher in this room, at least 30 feet down to the floor, and Alice hugged the ceiling as closely as she could, desperate for every inch she could put between herself and the two women beneath her.
Someone want to explain what the hell's going on?
He's a mimic!
The other Sasha countered.
No, he is. He snuck up on me and grabbed my hand.
Okay, so we're all agreeing that one of you is a mimic at least, right?
Yes! He can copy your appearance and powers if he touches you. But it isn't as strong as the original.
Well, sounds like a good show for me then.
Alice crossed her arms.
What?
The real Sasha is faster, so she'll win. Seems like this'll sort itself out.
It isn't that simple! I'm not used to fighting someone who can keep up with me!
Yeah, he's used to dealing with all kinds of powers. So even if I'm a little faster, he's still got enough combat experience to give me hell.
Then what do you want me to do? In case you didn't notice, I'm not exactly the queen of combat myself.
Just lend me a hand! With two of us, it'll be much harder for him.
Alice paused and gave it some thought. Then, pulled out her own yellow weapon.
Okay, Sasha's. One question before I decide who to help. Your boyfriend is Vince, so you've spent a lot of time with us in Melbrook throughout the semester. So then, who is Mary's best friend?
Herschel! You.
Bingo!
Alice dropped down next to the girl who had answered Herschel and put her weapon at the ready.
Let's get this, Faker.
You got it.
Alice smiled at the Sasha standing next to her, and they turned to glare at the Sasha standing across from them. Alice pressed her weapon into the neck of the Sasha standing nearest her.
Ow!
The bracelet on that Sasha's wrist flashed yellow, then turned clear as a small green arrow appeared on it.
Damn it.
Alice watched in fascination as the Sasha's features seemed to melt together, shifting and squirming until Alice found herself staring at a boy, shorter than she, with light hair buzzed close to the head.
I'm impressed. I didn't think you were planning a double cross. See you girls back up top.
With that, the boy made his way to the room's exit, following the arrow on his bracelet.
That was amazing!
Sasha walked over to Alice and gave her a hug.
How did you know he was the fake one?
I didn't.
You... Wait, what?
Before the words were fully formed, Sasha felt Alice's weapon dig into her side, sending its charge into her and eliminating her from the test.
I didn't know. I just asked a basic question for you both to answer. The one I picked to surprise was random.
But you eliminated the real me too.
Sasha still held on to Alice in their now very awkward hug.
Yes, I did. And I'd feel a lot worse about it if I hadn't noticed you adjust your grip on your weapon before coming in for this hug.
Touché, my fellow crafty lady.
Sasha released the hug and checked her bracelet.
You're more dangerous than you look. What would you have done if you'd taken out the real me first, though?
Been eliminated. But I'd have had at least one win under my belt.
Not a bad plan. Good luck with the rest of the test. The longer you're in here, the tougher the remaining opponents will be.
Alice floated into the air toward the room's exit and the relative safety of the darkness.
Note to self, don't go into any more lit rooms. Fudge!
Mary and Nick rounded a corner in the darkness.
What?
Someone heard us. Someone tough. Hurry and follow me quickly. There's a lit room nearby. We have to get there.
Mary quickened her speed to a run, and Nick followed her lead.
Why is it so important we get there?
Because I have no idea how to fight this guy in the dark.
Do you know how to do it in the light?
Not really.
Fuck.
Mary and Nick entered the brightly lit room and made their way toward the center.
Now what?
Now we wait.
A few minutes later, the door opened, showing only darkness outside of the well-lit room Nick and Mary had entered. Suddenly, another student was standing in front of them, yellow weapon ready at hand. Small wisps of smoke curled in the air for less than a second around the area in which he had appeared. The boy himself wasn't too impressive. He was short in stature and excessively lean. He had a wide grin on his face, though.
Duh.
One that left Nick feeling disconcerted, given that he and Mary had the advantage in numbers.
Who is this guy?
Nick plucked his weapon out of his pocket and stood ready. Mary's weapon was already drawn.
His name is Gilbert, and he's a teleporter.
He also has perfectly good hearing and doesn't like being talked about as though he isn't in the room. Also, come on, there's only like 40 of us left. You couldn't be bothered to learn everyone's name?
I've got a shitty memory. Sue me.
Nah, I've got a better idea.
Gilbert vanished from his spot and reappeared behind Nick, lunging forward with his weapon. Nick slid to the side, and Gilbert's sneak attack cleaved nothing but air. But before Nick could return with an attack of his own, Gilbert was standing on the other side of the room.
I see how this guy could be problematic.
Exactly.
Alex was giving it all that he had. Sweat dripped off his forehead as he concentrated intensely. Thomas's orange beams were slamming down repeatedly in his direction, held back only by the sheer might of his will. Try as he might to attack, Thomas kept striking at an invisible wall that didn't seem to be yielding. Vince was crouched near the floor, staring at the ground, his breath intense and focused.
Any time now!
Vince took one last deep breath and stood. He put his hand into his left pocket and produced his weapon. The red coloring tinted a sickly shade from Thomas's orange lights. Vince felt a rush of adrenaline crash over him, elation not far on its heels. Do or die time.
Clear me a path!
Vince charged forward without waiting for confirmation. If Alex could do it, then he would. If not, then this wasn't going to work anyway. As his heart raced and his feet slapped the concrete floor, Vince noticed he hadn't been snagged yet. Alex must have neutralized Thomas's energy beams. There were still a few more feet to cover. Vince was just about in range. It was going to be a photo finish. In the end, Vince very nearly pulled it off. His finger was on the button and his arm was almost completely extended. A few inches more and he would have driven the weapon into Thomas's shoulder. He felt his legs go out from under him as he was jerked once more into the air, his arms pinned to his torso. Without pause, Thomas lanced a shot of energy over at Alex, snaring and capturing him once more. Vince suspected that he wouldn't be able to break free again.
Well now, that was an impressive move. Summoning all your force into one all-out attack? Risky, but almost effective.
Thanks. You are wearing us down the other way,
so I figured why not give it a shot. If only your partner had been just a bit stronger. Or if you'd been a bit faster. Despite all our power, these fights often come down to a narrow margin of victory.
Thomas lowered Vince to only a few inches off the ground. At the same time, an orange tendril emerged and nimbly plucked an object from Thomas's back pocket. It was his own yellow weapon, and the tendril was soon shaped into a hand holding the device, a finger carefully placed on the button to activate it.
That's really neat how you do that.
Thank you. I found it useful. Hands, beams, shields, even needles. My energy takes any form I can think of and stays just as powerful regardless.
Sounds adaptive and useful.
Much appreciated. I'm sorry your own ability was so limiting in this environment.
I don't know about that. I mean, it's limiting in some senses, but with a little creative risk-taking, it can actually be pretty useful.
What?
Vince's eyes suddenly crackled with red lightning, which leapt out and struck Thomas in the chest. The voltage shattered his concentration and temporarily disabled his motor skills. As Thomas felt the twitching in his muscles subside and his vision slowly coming back into focus, he noticed his bracelet was now glowing with a green arrow.
What the hell was that?
Vince was standing over him, having been freed when Thomas was electrocuted. A clattering sound reached Thomas's ears, and after bathing the area once more in orange light, he could see that Vince had tossed him his weapon.
Try it out.
Thomas picked up the red device and pressed its button. There was nothing.
You drained it. Shouldn't that have set off your bracelet?
I thought it might. That's why I didn't do it when we first got down here. Once you were hammering away at us, though, it was obvious we were going to lose eventually. So, I decided to give it a try.
You weren't catching your breath for the charge.
I was drinking the whole battery down to empty. It was a big risk. Even when I took the shot, I didn't know if it would work.
And if it didn't, then you'd be stuck down here with no way to eliminate other students.
Alex wobbled his way over and joined them.
Pretty much. So the only way I was able to beat you was by taking several gambles that could have totally knocked me out of commission.
I appreciate the attempts to spare my ego.
Thomas slowly rose to his feet.
It's unnecessary, though. I lost in a fair battle to strong opponents. I feel no shame.
No hard feelings?
Vince extended his hand.
It's the nature of the exam.
Thomas accepted his hand and shook back.
You might want to get moving, though. This area has been lit up for some time now. Other students are bound to have noticed. My bad.
Crap. Good call. Alex, you okay to move?
Winded, but I should be fine after a few minutes.
Good luck. I don't want the guys who were able to defeat me to be taken down so easily.
The last 5 minutes had unveiled some unfortunate truths. The first was that Gilbert could teleport faster than Mary was able to read his mind and anticipate his movement. The second was that while she could grab him, he could easily teleport out of her kinetic grip. The last was that Gilbert clearly had some gymnastics experience.
Were your parents monkeys or something?
Nick ducked away from one of Gilbert's attacks. Without missing a beat, Gilbert vanished, reappearing at the other end of the room, doing a flip off the wall, and landing perfectly.
My parents put me in tumbling at an early age. Turns out, short guys have an advantage in that field.
Good for you!
Nick pulled himself to his feet, but kept his eyes trained on Gilbert.
I don't suppose you've thought of a plan yet, Mary?
Right now, all I'm hoping is that all that jumping around wears him down faster than us.
Nick noticed that Mary's movements were beginning to slow. Gilbert, on the other hand, was getting faster. He was clearly able to conserve energy by teleporting. Running out the clock wasn't going to work. Gilbert disappeared again.
Incoming!
Trusting his instincts, Nick tumbled to the side, popping up with his weapon at the ready. This time, though, Gilbert had gone for Mary. Fortunately, she reacted in time, and smacked him away with a mental punch. He flew back, vanishing from sight, then reappeared at the other end of the room, landing delicately on his nimble feet.
If we don't do something, we're going to lose soon.
Gilbert had them beat in endurance and mobility, so the only option left was strategy. Nick sent out a thought forcefully.
Mary!
Nick needed to talk to her, but giving Gilbert any more information would be too risky. Hopefully, she was listening. Mary jerked her head in Nick's direction.
Good. You're listening. Mary, I need your help to beat this guy. Take both of our weapons with your mind and start attacking with them using the patterns I'll be thinking of. Dodge as necessary, but make sure to follow my patterns perfectly.
Mary gave a small, almost imperceptible nod, and Nick released his weapon. It dropped a few inches before jerking to a stop and zipping away into the air. Nick barely had time to think of the first pattern before Gilbert was on the move again. He directed Mary to press the attack, making minor alterations on the pattern's trajectories, but continuing without pause. Gilbert had to teleport away, and Nick felt a thin smile appear on his face. They were finally making him reactive instead of proactive, and that was exactly where Nick needed him to be. Nick took off from his spot, dashing with all the speed his legs could afford him. Nick had been analyzing Gilbert's movements. The good thing about using the same pattern when evading was that it made such movements second nature, allowing for faster reaction time. The bad thing was that if your opponent was observant enough, they could use those same habits to predict your movements before you made them. And Nick was exceptionally observant. There was a very small lag between Gilbert disappearing and reappearing, a half second where he turned away to pick his next destination. That proved to be just enough for Nick. Oh. Gilbert appeared in front of Nick, his eyes widening in surprise at another person being in a spot he'd clearly anticipated as being empty. Before he could react, Nick reared back and punched him directly in the side of his head. Gilbert dropped faster than a politician's approval ratings after raising taxes. He smacked the ground and twitched slightly. Without looking, Nick held out his left hand and felt a small smack as his weapon landed in it. With the press of a button and a flick of his wrist, Gilbert's bracelet illuminated with a small green arrow.
Think he'll be okay?
Nope. That's why we've got healers.
You throw a hell of a punch.
Mary ambled over to him.
That's the problem with the combat types like you and him. You guys forget that just because I wield a metaphysical power like luck, doesn't mean I can't clean a clock on occasion.
I guess there's some truth to that. You know, if I wasn't in your head, I would never have believed you pulled that off without using any luck.
Then things are exactly as they should be. I suppose you still want to keep looking for our dorm mates?
You could have said our friends.
Yeah, I could have. But I didn't.
Nick.
Mary shook her head.
You still have so far to come.
Emotional growth can wait for later. Right now, let's just get this test over with.
Do you hear something?
Kind of.
Vince wasn't quite sure what was reaching his ears as he and Alex crept through the dark. It sounded soft and harmonic. As he and Alex turned a corner down another hallway, the sound bounced off a nearby wall and magnified significantly. Only then did the two realize what they were hearing.
Someone's singing.
Yeah.
Vince would have been more curious about what would cause someone to give away their position by singing. But if such a thought existed, it was lost in a fog growing thick within his brain. Without wondering why, Vince began moving toward the sound of the song. A part of him dimly registered Alex coming along as well. The two students moved swiftly through the dark halls, the song bouncing off the walls and guiding them clearly. At last, they came to a hall in a dark room like any other, save for the fact that in this one dwelled the singer who had brought them there. Vince raised his hand, and a small flame burned in the center, illuminating the room around them. It was a bare concrete room, with only one other person. Sitting cross-legged in the center of the floor was a girl Vince barely recognized from class. She had long, dark hair and olive skin. He was transfixed by her beauty, amazed he had ever found the strength to tear his eyes from her.
Beautiful dreamer.
He kneeled down in front of her, bringing out more fire so he could see her better. This time, he didn't even notice that Alex was following suit. There was no room in his mind for anything else. The test, the program, the world, all paled in comparison. There was only her. Her and the song. She never stopped singing. Not as she reached into her pocket and produced an oddly familiar yellow device. Not as she pressed it to Alex's temple. And he collapsed to the ground.
Beautiful dreamer, wake unto me.
Not even as she held it against Vince's eager skin. It was only when Vince came back around that the song had stopped. And by then, his bracelet was clear, and it was far too late to matter.
Stella.
Nope.
Will.
Totally.
Alice?
No doubt.
Really? She's so pretty. And I've heard her thoughts wander in that direction several times before. You sure?
Daddy issues with an overprotective, emotionally distant father? Not saying she won't be busting wild in days to come, but as of now, I'm positive she's a virgin.
I really have trouble believing you can deduce whether someone has had sex just by briefly meeting them.
You can see in my head. Am I lying?
I said I have trouble believing, not that I didn't believe.
Mary and Nick were trekking through the dark, still in search of their fellow companions. Mary's mental eavesdropping had steered them away from any potential fights, but they'd been forced to take some twists and turns that took them farther from their goal. The tension had culminated in boredom, which led to their current conversation.
So, what about Herschel?
Oh, come on. As much as he moons over you, there's no way his brain hasn't given that one away.
I try not to listen. It didn't seem polite.
Not polite? You dig through my head like a hobo scrounging for food in a restaurant dumpster, but he's a no-fly zone?
He doesn't have anything to hide, nor does he need the therapy that you do. Besides, he's interested in me. It seems like a bad idea to listen to the thoughts of someone I might end up dating.
Rough. Oh, and yes, by the way. Still pure as the driven snow.
That's nice.
Mary was grateful that Nick couldn't see her smile in the darkness.
Therapy, huh?
You've got some issues.
Yeah. Playboy has issues. I have personality.
You have a complete inability to trust anyone. I mean, you don't even trust Vince, and that kid thinks of you as his best friend.
Friends stab you in the front.
Real cute. On that note, Vince?
Surprisingly, no. And before you ask, not with Sasha. She's not either, but the two of them haven't knocked boots. Not with each other, I mean.
Wow, they've been dating for months now. I wonder what's holding them back.
He's a gentleman, and she thinks he's a virgin and doesn't want him to think she's a slut.
I thought I was a telepath.
Please. Nothing new in that story. Admittedly, usually the guy's only pretending to be a gentleman, but the context is the same.
Shut up!
Had Nick been a bit more sensitive, he might have realized that Mary was silencing him not for his comment, but because of the footsteps echoing toward them. The intruder came close, then turned away a few rooms ahead.
We're okay now. Also, that is a terribly jaded view of how dating works.
Funny how reality and jaded seem to mean the same thing at the end of the day.
Whatever, Mr. Sad Sack. You know what I find to be reality? That you've been here as long as we have, experienced this new environment, and started acting like a real super just like we four, but you haven't grown or changed one bit. Herschel's popping out of his shell, Roy's calming down and getting focused, Alice is letting herself make connections with people, and Vince is getting used to having structure. Not Nick, though. You're the same guy today as you were when we first met.
I grew up a long time ago. Besides, I noticed you weren't on that list either, Miss High and Mighty.
Of course I'm growing. I'm learning to play chess.
Oh, well then, my mistake.
Apology accepted. What about Alex?
Nope. But then, no surprise there. A super in a small town is bound to have fans.
I suppose you have a point. We're almost there, by the way.
About time. Who is it?
Why? Hoping for someone in particular?
Yes. Roy. We need another heavy hitter. Too bad he's out of the game.
You're lying. Why don't you want to admit that you want us to find Vince? You guys hang out all the time. There's nothing wrong with wanting your friend to help you during a stressful situation.
I don't have friends. Just assets.
I ought to knock you on your asset. Anyway, you'll see who it is in a minute.
Fine.
Nick needed to get his game face back on. Soon they'd have company. And that meant Nick the quip-filled chatterbox, not Nick the conniver.
Just because you can't hide things from Mary doesn't mean you can let yourself get sloppy.
You know, you're really pathetic sometimes.
Nick blinked, then realized she was rebuking him for his thoughts rather than his words.
I gotta be me.
He hesitated for a minute as a question popped into his head. He was about to stifle it, then realized Mary had heard it already, so he might as well ask.
Does Vince really think of me as his best friend?
Yes, and he trusts you without hesitation. Kinda sad knowing the man you really are.
Yeah. Careful you don't fall off that soapbox.
The two stepped into a dark room, much like many of the others they'd been in over the last hour. Mary stopped walking and looked up.
Speaking of being elevated, ahoy up there!
Mary?
Alice's voice drifted down from the ceiling.
And Nick.
Oh, great. You had to be tagging along.
You know me, princess. One for all and all for one. We're passing this test as a team.
Well, to be technical, we're the last of the team. Vince and Alex went down about 15 minutes ago.
Who took those two out?
Let's just say if you hear someone singing, run like hell.
Guys, not that I'm not thankful to have company, but I'm guessing you two have some sort of plan?
My plan was to round up as many of us as I could. As of now, I'm officially open to suggestions.
Might I recommend surrender?
A new voice spoke up in the room, one that didn't immediately register to the other inhabitants. But it took Mary only a moment to confirm her fears.
Hi, Chad.
You sure it's him?
Seeing as he's the only student in our class whose thoughts I can't hear, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's dark, I get that. I'm still standing right here, though.
Oh no, we've offended him. Now he'll easily beat us and knock us out of the test, a totally different outcome than what he was already planning.
Actually, I was planning to let you and Alice go. Neither of you pose a threat to me.
Really?
Yes, really. Mary stays, though. I imagine she'll make an interesting opponent.
Cool by me. Alice, fly your ass down here and let's book.
But what about Mary?
I appreciate the sentiment, Alice, but you should go. Chad is a strong super, so fighting him is likely to cause a lot of collateral damage. It'll be easier if I don't have to worry about hitting either of you in the dark.
You're sure?
Of course. I'll catch up with you two later. Now hurry up.
You heard the girl. Time for us to exit stage right.
Without any more coaxing, Alice floated down to Nick's side, and the two slowly made their way out into the hallway and the endless twists of the labyrinth.
You lied to your friend.
Yes, I did.
That was very kind of you.
It was kind of you to let them go.
I meant what I said. Their powers aren't suited for combat. I won't learn anything from them or be suitably challenged. I gain no satisfaction from defeating weaker opponents.
You and me both. Though I don't think that applies to either of us in this case.
No, it is certainly not.
With that, Chad rushed forward,
Holy crap!
Do you think she's okay?
I'm sure she's fine. We should be moving faster.
You think Chad will change his mind?
I think there's a metric fuckton of power being flexed uncomfortably close to me, and I'd like to increase that distance.
Nick quickened his pace.
You make a good case.
Alice matched his speed.
This doesn't seem a little wrong to you, though. I mean, we're here learning to be heroes. Doesn't running away go counter to that?
Only if your definition of a hero is someone who gets needlessly pummeled. You and I have specific talents. Kicking ass isn't one of them.
Maybe if we teamed up.
Since when are you so concerned about Mary's well-being?
She came looking for me. Both of you did. It feels wrong leaving her behind when things are rough.
And here I just thought you were growing chummy with our little mind reader.
Alice tried to brush off his comment, but it didn't brush quite so easily. She stopped running and turned around.
I'm going back.
No, you're not.
Nick stopped short and strode back over to Alice, groping the air a bit before finding her arm in the darkness.
I get it. She's our friend. We care and we want her to be okay, and it seems like making a grandstand will help her.
We'll think of something.
We'll distract her. We'll get in the way, and it's possible we'll get hurt or killed. Accidents happen, even with the safety measures the HCP takes. And Mary will blame herself for not being able to protect us. You want to bring up the fact that we're learning to be heroes? Fine. Then remember this. A hero's first priority is the greater good. You feel inadequate and guilty, so you want to relieve those feelings by trying to help. But that's selfish. It puts your need to feel good about yourself above Mary's need to stay safe and win.
I still feel like shit.
Sometimes doing the right thing leaves you feeling like an asshole. Now move.
You're amazing. You can't see me or sense my thoughts, yet you still managed to last this long. I'm impressed.
Mary blinked the sweat from her eyes. She appreciated the sentiment, but she didn't feel particularly amazing. Fighting Chad was hell. She'd been generating a bubble of telekinetic power to stop his attacks, but he'd already broken through twice. Each time, she'd released a massive burst of energy to drive him back, but he'd landed glancing blows.
Why can't I read your thoughts?
Mary needed him to talk. She needed to buy a few extra seconds.
Brains work on certain frequencies through electrical impulses. I've done some extensive remodeling of how mind functions to maximize potential. Think of it this way. You pick up FM, but I'm broadcasting on AM.
Impossible.
No such word. Think of any wonder or miracle in this world, and sooner or later, you'll find someone with that power. It's just a matter of perseverance. Speaking of, while I admire your attempt to stall in hopes of a better outcome, don't you think it's time we let this dance come to its inevitable conclusion?
I suppose.
With one last push of effort, she slammed a telekinetic burst toward where Chad's voice had last come from, striking in as wide an area as she could. She put all of her remaining energy into the strike. This was a last-shot gambit, one depending almost entirely on luck. She felt a gentle hand on her shoulder.
Well done. A foot over and you would have hit me. I'd love to fight you again when we're on a more equal ground.
Sure. After a break, though. I need a long rest after this.
Of course.
Chad delicately placed his weapon against her shoulder and gave it a quick pulse.
Finally, sweet light.
Nick stumbled into the lit room, with Alice following suit.
The loud noises have stopped.
Nick stopped in the center of the room and dropped to a sitting position.
I noticed. We'll wait here for 5 minutes to see if Mary joins us.
And if she doesn't?
More wandering in the dark. Staying mobile and hidden are our best bets at this point.
You say that like there was a point when that wasn't our only option.
Well, with Mary, we could have pulled off a little magic. Just you and me, though? we're less useful. Have to face facts. This challenge was designed to favor combat types.
Nick waited for a reply. But when one didn't come, he turned around to face Alice. He'd expected to see her lost in thought or worry, annoyed at being stuck with him again. Instead, what greeted his eyes was her collapsed body and a barely noticeable pale glow from her wrist.
Shit.
Nick scrambled to get on his feet. He reacted quickly, but not quickly enough. He felt a sharp pain in his gut and dropped back to the floor. As his vision cleared, he saw a female figure ripple into view. She was a fellow student with short, mousy hair and a cocky grin.
I don't know. I find that a power is as useful as the person wielding it.
Well, crap.